Good evening.
Good evening.
There is no one new here except Holly's husband. But you know that this is metaphysical teaching, right?
Good.
So we don't have to go into that. So let's start as we always do, with spiritual mind treatment. And when I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. We are affirming or reaffirming what the universe, or this thing that we call God, already knows about us. We are taking time out to say something good and true about ourselves. I will do this in the first person, and all those that are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. There is only good, and there is only God. Therefore, I am some part of that good, and I am some part of that God. And I realize by using my own mind, the mind that is connected with the mind of God, I can bring into my life all the things that I want. I can have all the desires fulfilled in my life. And I remember that. And right here and right now, I bring into my life prosperity, abundance, and money. And I let that be so, and so it is. I don't know if anyone got. Hey, how are you tonight? Did anyone get the email that Casey sent out? He sends out an email. And this evening, tonight, we can change the format every time, was questions and answers. So if you have any questions, I will answer them. And then, if we have time, we will do a meditation, because a lot of people, it never got on the tape, the meditation that we did, so that you can find your spirit guide. So, if we have time, we'll do that. If not, we will do that at another time, because I think that's very important for you to know. But in the meantime, for the people that were here last week, I would like to talk one moment about the young lady that was here. And probably will not be back. Now, I say probably will not be back, because she was having a very difficult time with this teaching, because it ran completely against all her belief systems. And of course, she also, I'm sure, thought that we were being irreverent. Now, I try never to be irreverent, although I do get a little smart. But the reason I point this out, because Wesley will say the statement, what? That this is the easiest thing to disprove, this teaching. And it's your mind that's doing that. Her mind immediately started to disprove everything. And then she wanted to remove herself from that. And the way she removed herself from what we call staying at home, or what I call observing the 11th commandment. The 11th commandment is, mind your own business. She wants to go out from there, you're seeing? And what did she ask? Well, if this is all true, then how about children? Why are children affected by this? Why do we have children with disease that are crippled or born this way and that way? Frankly, I don't know the answer to that. But that's not what we're here. That will come. You can only learn so much at a time, and you have to keep raising up in consciousness till you understand that. But she wanted to immediately, what? Throw out the baby with the bathwater. She did not, it was uncomfortable for her. When things get uncomfortable, what our mind does, our human mind, that ego part of our mind, it focuses on somewhere else. It keeps you going, well, what about them? What about this? What about things out there? You cannot do that to yourselves. Remember, we're all in the boat together, even though we're in separate boats. But as soon as you jump from, she was in her boat, but she wanted to jump over to somebody else's boat, you see. And that's how you sink that boat and yourself and the other person, whatever, because you start to tamper with those things. We may never know the answer to that. That does not mean that this teaching does not work. If you work this teaching will work for you. How are you doing that? So, when you do that type of thing to yourself, when I advise people, if I say anything that you don't understand, that you disagree with and all, put it on a shelf. And someday you'll be able to take it down off the shelf and understand it. But you can't understand all this at one time. And she was trying to understand it all. But the thing is, she was focusing outside of her own self. And you cannot do that. Life is an inside job. It starts with you, inside of you. Not out there in the world. That is what the world wants to teach. That is what Christianity wants to teach. That I'll do a charitable thing. How many people know the saying, charity begins at home? It begins with you. It doesn't begin by giving yourself. If you give all your money to somebody else, does that help? No, it may help them, but now you're poor. So where's the balance in that? You stay home in your own thinking, in your own mind. You grow a consciousness, and then you can teach somebody else. But we only ever teach by example. We don't teach by going out and helping people. If we did that, I mean, if that really worked, we wouldn't have welfare. And we have welfare, and we have people that live on it for generations. Because no one ever raises them in consciousness. No one ever gives them a sense of pride and property. No one teaches them that. They just give them money and say, oh, now you're healed. Now you're all right. That's going outside of yourself. You have to stay in and heal that first. Heal yourself. If everyone healed their consciousness, there would be no welfare. The welfare system is a horrible system. And it catches people there. But that's what the world teaches. And that's what the world does. We're never worried with what the world is doing out there. We're worried about what? What we are thinking. It's all done with your thinking. And excuse me one moment, I forgot to introduce. You often hear me talk about Aunt Catherine. This is Aunt Catherine's son. And this is Jane, this is Dennis, and this is Jane, my cousins. But there is really an Aunt Catherine, and Dennis can prove that, can't you?
I believe you.
Okay, good. And she's up and about and doing very well. Aunt Catherine years ago said to me, I said to her, how do you do that? And she said, well, I watch my thinking. And this is from a woman who's never read a metaphysical book and probably doesn't even know what metaphysics is. But she knew that. And the other day when I talked to her, she said, well, Dallas, you know, when you get up in the morning, you have to make yourself happy. And that's as happy as you're going to be all day long. And you're the one that's going to decide how happy you're going to be. And most people, when they get up, they don't make any decisions except, ugh, another day. You have to do that for yourselves. You see, the world's not going to do it for you. Money's not going to do it for you. Your mind is going to do it for you. So make up your mind what you want to do, what you want to do. I found some things this week that I really love. Try and put them in order. It is never too late to be what you might have been. It's never too late to be what you might have been. That was George Eliot, who was also Mary Ann Evans. From Mary Ann Williamson, and this one I love. This is good for you. We are not held back by love we didn't receive in the past. But by love, we're not extending in the future or in the present. You see, everyone's worried about not getting enough love when they were a child. and they think that's what's holding them back. That's not what's holding you back. It's extending the love now, in the present. But the past has nothing to do with anything. The past is the past. That's why they call it the past, you see. The past only comes into your mind when you start to think about it. And as soon as you start to think about the past, you have just left the now. And you have to stay in the now. The past has nothing to do with anything. But how many people spend years and years in therapy because they think their parents didn't love them? Your parents always loved you. They loved you the way they could, and that's all. And what they gave you was all that they could give you. But I can assure you they loved you 100%. They thought that they were doing a terrific job. You know, but then perhaps you didn't think that, you see. As I often say, my parents were no day at the beach. You know. But I don't hold that against them. You know, I try to think of all the wonderful things that they did and forget all the other stuff that happened. Otherwise, it keeps you from being who you want to be in life, and it keeps you from having the things that you want to have. And it will certainly keep you from having abundance, prosperity, and money. Because when you think that your parents didn't give you enough love and so forth, and you're concentrating on that, you're not loving yourself. And you have to learn to love yourself. And the more you love yourself, the more good is going to come into your life. And especially the more money is going to come into your life. Now this one, and I'll try to do it correctly. The world is good. We must say, since it is what we make it, and we shall make it good. Read that again. The world is good. We must say, since it is what we make it, and we shall make it good. That was William James. Does anyone know who William James was? William James was the father of American psychology. Did that make sense to you? See, it's a choice. It's always a choice.
I'd like to hear the syntax again.
The world is good.
Right.
We must say. You see, people say, well, the world isn't good. Look at all the bad that goes on. The world is good. We must say.
That's all one sentence.
No.
No, that's just
the world is good, comma.
All right.
We must say, comma.
All right.
Since it is what we make it.
Okay.
Dash.
Uh-huh.
And we shall make it good.
Got it.
You see, you must start out with that premise that the world is good. And then we make it good. We make the world what we think it is. If you think the world is horrible, the world will be horrible for you. And you can prove that up one side and down the other. But if you think the world is good and you start with that premise that the world is good, the world will become good. You see, it's the idea of always focusing on what you want something to be. If I am sitting on this chair, and here is a garden, and here is a dump, I have a choice in which direction I want to look. So I choose to look at the garden. Now, some people say, yes, dump's over there. Do I care that the dump's over there? Do I care that war's going on? Do I care? When I say that, using that care, I'm concerned about those things. But I don't focus on those things. I focus on this. The more that I focus on the garden, the more the garden grows. If I turn this way and focus on the dump is going to get bigger and bigger. Because anything you give your attention to grows. Anything you give your attention to grows. Try that with your plants and stuff at home, or if you have a garden, give it attention, and it will start to grow better for you. You know, if you don't weed it and so forth and do that, your garden's not going to do so well. So use that with your mind. If you have thoughts in your mind that are not doing you any good, weed them out. Get rid of them. there any questions? Or do you want me to just keep praying? Yes, Tom.
That's something. This may be totally off the subject, that you're conveying. But what about denial? Where does that fit in? Where does the willful ignorance of something ugly fit in?
Where does it fit in? Well, first of all, I never see that. No, I knew that that exists, but I don't want it to exist, so I don't give it any power. Where thought goes, energy flows. And where energy flows, you start to build something that is not what you want. So you don't do that. Yes, all that stuff is going on out there. I don't deny that.
No, I mean like personal denial. Like say you have a personal problem. Say that you're incapable of... In fact, I think it even talks about this and that it... mental equivalent. Say that you have a problem relating to other people, and wherever you go, this seems to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's always a problem this way?
Yes.
Is there something that you're denying there that you're not looking at?
Well, yes. Well, you can use the word deny. What's going on there is called the law of attraction. What you have in your mind will come to you. If you think your boss is mean and hateful, your boss will be mean and hateful. If you think your boss is wonderful and you can look at him and start to see that person as God, that whole thing will change. You see, we never change anybody. But when we change our thinking, the person changes. Why? Because we do not see with our eyes, we see with our mind. We see with our thoughts. We see with our preconceptions. We're the ones that are doing everything. We do it to ourselves. And when you see something in somebody else, the only reason why you can see that is because you have it in yourself. If you didn't have it in yourself, you'd never recognize that. So there's not denying. You're not denying that. But if that's happening, that's a pattern that you set up through the law of attraction. So you change your thinking about that. See, that's the most wonderful thing about this. And I often say the gift has already been given. The gift of what? The gift of thought, the gift of mind. It's already been given. People are waiting for God to give you another gift. I have news for you. God is not going to give you another gift. You have it all now. You have to remember that you're always whole, complete, and perfect. That everything you're looking for, you're looking with. Does that help you or not?
Yeah.
So you change that.
I read an article yesterday. It fascinated me. That some scientists, behavioral scientists, and neurologists had done some studies, and they've discovered what they're calling mirror neurons. In effect, they're saying that every human being has the ability to read another human being's mind. And they studied it with monkeys, and they were doing brain scans, and they found there was a location of certain neurons that when a monkey observed another monkey doing something, he didn't have to be doing the same thing to completely experience the same stimulation as the behavior from the other monkey, and that knowledge or perception was conveyed through some sort of what we might call telepathic energy transfer.
Why do you think that that occurs?
Because we're all
in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat. We're all using the same mind. We're all using the mind of God. If we weren't using the mind of God, I wouldn't be able to see you.
It's like sympathetic vibration.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say how we are able to be empathetic.
Yes.
They use the word empathetic.
Yeah.
There's only one mind. There's only one life.
The collective unconscious.
The collective unconscious is race mind.
Yeah.
Race mind is contained within the mind of God, since there is only to use that part that's set up with the collective consciousness or with the race mind, or we have a choice to look at it and say that that is not true. What are some of the things that race mind tells us? Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you wanted exams.
Oh, yeah, give me.
One thing that I've always fought against is the universal belief that, oh, it's winter, but we're all going to get the flu now.
Yes.
That's a universal belief.
Yes.
That I don't believe.
Because, and if you don't believe it, you usually won't get it. That's what people are in the winter. The television will start to tell you the flu season's coming.
That's why it's called influenza.
Where the hell was that flu before winter? Vacationing in Florida someplace, and now it's traveling this way? You see, that is, and it's race mind, and we all come down with the flu because we think it's a thing to do.
I have a, would you spell race mind, R-A-C-E?
R-A-C-E, the race.
Okay.
Oh, you thought it was a mind that raced around the place. It's the collective consciousness.
Okay.
In religious science, we call it race mind. It's what the race is thinking at the time. And the race mind changes constantly. And we, as human beings, are always born into a conversation that is already going on. We're not in the same conversation that was going on when George Washington was born. We're in a different conversation, and we're born into that conversation. So that's how we collect so many things. That's race mind. And then you have to figure out what that is. Otherwise, you live out your life thinking you're thinking, and you're not thinking, the race is thinking for you.
Yeah, I think it was 20 years ago. Yeah, it was 20 years ago that people thought that you lose weight by eating carbs. And so everybody was eating constantly.
Oh, well, yes, it constantly changes. If you want, you know, any of that stuff will change. And it's just the race line changing constantly.
When I was talking about collective unconscious, and perhaps there is a better term, but I was thinking about studies that showed how monkeys on different islands physically separated.
The 100th monkey theory.
Yeah, or and there would be a development where a monkey would learn how to use a tool, and monkeys on that island would learn how to use that tool, but monkeys on surrounding islands would suddenly develop the ability to use that same tool.
Yes.
That there is that sort of
because we're all living, moving, having our being in the mind of God, I will, I will tell
there's
you.
There's a movement in the force.
I will give you another movement in force. If a laboratory in France puts two things together, two elements together, say, and they crystallize, those elements will crystallize around the globe.
There's a great book that covers all this called Seven Experiments That Could Change the World. And it covers all this stuff. It's great.
But then that just shows how connected we are, all are, and how thinking really does everything for us, you know. Thoughts are everything, by the way. Thoughts are everything. You have to remember that. Thoughts are doing everything. We look outside of ourselves and judge by appearance and think that it's something else. But it's the thought that's doing it. See, if we didn't think that we had to have a war, we wouldn't have wars.
I think of us in terms of being radios, and we can be receivers and or transmitters. And we have the choice, and with regards to what you're saying about race mind, we have the choice to either receive that transmission or to actually radiate a transmission and affect a change in it.
Yes.
And that, I feel, is a mission as an artist, is to radiate change for the better.
Yes. But we always are changing things. We're the ones who decide what's going on. You're saying. We're the ones who decide what's going on. We can change anything if we start to think differently about it. In the years, remember when cancer, when they first discovered cancer, no one even wanted to talk about it, and people dropped dead right away. But now we say, oh, they don't have to do that. They can live a little bit longer. They can do this. They can do that. It'll come to the point where we'll be able to cure that, because there's no such thing as an incurable disease. There's no such thing as an incurable disease. What they are telling you is at the present moment they don't have a cure for it. That's all they're telling you. So if you buy into that, that it's incurable, it'll be incurable. If you realize that it is curable and that you can cure it, you can do that. But there's a very powerful race mind out there that says you can't do that. And we hate to go against that race mind. Very powerful.
There's been a lot of great people that have done a lot of great things throughout history.
Yes.
Had they been the type of person that listened to the masses,
yes,
you know, they might not have found a cure for polio or whatever else, because, you know.
And what happened as soon as they found a cure for polio? What happened?
Oh, we knew you could do that, or some.
Polio disappeared. You don't get shots for polio anymore. Very rarely does polio pop up. When it was an epidemic and everyone thought it was real, people came down with polio all over the place. As soon as Salk said, I have a vaccine that can cure that, people said, oh, okay, I don't get it anymore. And it just disappeared. Now, where are those germs or whatever caused that? Lurking somewhere in Florida. Don't go to Florida, it's just lurking with itself. But you see, it's all what we think. Remember the... I never remember the 4 minute man or the 3 minute.
4 minute.
4 minute.
Man is German just over 50 years ago.
Yes. But before that, everyone said it was impossible. It was impossible to run a 4 minute mile. As soon as the first man ran a 4 minute mile, that belief system was broken and everyone was running a 4 minute mile.
Yeah, well, Albert Einstein said that if he hadn't have discovered the theory of relativity, somebody else would have, because it was out in the universe.
Yes, because...
He was very smart.
Einstein, the more I read about him, and I don't study him, but I hear a lot of quotes, and the more I find out about that guy, is that he thought everything was invented.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
And it is. He's, because
well,
it is.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't think of
really
those classically trained scientists who want to go in and try to prove, you know, think that way. But he always thought in abstracts.
Right. Well, I love when people do these billion-dollar studies that many people knew already many years ago, and they didn't need to read those studies or make them.
They have fun.
It's already in there. What you said is already out there.
Well, we say that Isaac Newton discovered gravity. Well, gravity was already there. We never discover anything. We uncover things that are already there.
He earned the bragging rights.
The, yeah.
Yes.
Of an apple hitting.
He gets the title.
He gets the title. And we didn't have aerodynamics, the laws, until the Wright brothers started to make airplanes, and then they noticed the laws and so forth. And
the world was flat before Copernicus.
Yes.
And then it turned around.
This is similar to what you said a little while ago. One of my favorite stories about Walt Disney was he would ask 10 people what they thought of his idea. If 9 out of 10 of them said it was terrible, he'd never work with it a week.
Repeat that one.
Walt Disney would ask 10 people what they thought about an idea, about one of his ideas, and if 9 out of 10 thought it was terrible, he'd get to work on it right away.
Yeah.
Because he knew it just had to go.
And Edison, to get the light bulb, did thousands and thousands of experiments before he was successful. But each time he did one, or had the string of, say, 1,000, people would say, aren't you discouraged? He'd say, absolutely not. Now I know 1,000 ways that it doesn't work. You see? Because he knew it was going to work eventually, or most people give up. You see? Well, 1,000 times, that's impossible. What do we know about impossibility?
Nothing.
It's impossible.
Nothing is impossible. You have to remember that. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible in the mind of God. You see, this universe, there's every possibility out there. And we're learning more and more possibilities, and we're seeing life differently. Newton and his laws of physics, and the Newtonian laws of physics, are still there, but some of them now have evolved because we have quantum physics, which they never even realized. And we have mechanical physics. There's all kinds of things out there because everything is possible. There's an answer to everything, and there has to be an answer to everything. You see, can you imagine this mind of God not knowing the answer to something?
I'd like to see him on Jeopardy against Ken Jennings.
Well, there.
Since the topic is questions, I know I'm coming from a different angle with this, but I've been thinking this week about having learned at some point that the mind, if you set a question, the mind will go to work on that.
Yes.
Which is why, and so many of our questions are, why can't I get ahead? So the mind's going to go to work on that question and tell you all the reasons why you can't get ahead and confirm all the, you know, and show you evidence out in the world and all of this. And so I've been sort of thinking again about which questions to redirect, you know, and to make it more of a,
how can
which
I
is
get
about
ahead?
Aligning the mind with that, you know, like, I wonder what creative way I can come up with to have this happen versus why can't I get that to happen?
This teaching never teaches the whys of life. It teaches the hows of life. If you ask your mind, why is this? Your mind will spew out from now to eternity every reason why it's not possible. If you ask your mind, how can I do this? How can I accomplish this? Your mind will come up with that answer. But people ask the mind the wrong question. And we can go as far as to put here mind and God, because most people ask God the wrong question. And they want an answer. Well, God's not going to answer that because it's the wrong question. God cannot answer it. You have to ask the right question. And one of the questions, never ask yourself, why did this happen? Why am I in this state? How can I get out of this state? Show me how. Instead of sitting around and spinning your wheels with the whys, never worry about the whys of life. Worry about the hows of life.
Applicable to just about anything.
Well, it is.
Why don't I have any money? How can I get money?
Well, of course, you see, you cannot do the why of life. You cannot do the why of life. I have a friend, Beverly. She's 80-something or other. She's always concerned about money. And that always strikes me very funny because she's got lots of money. So she said to a friend of hers, every time I have money, a bill comes up to take the money. And how many people say that in their own life? I'm going along fine, and I have money stored up, and lo and behold, the car breaks down, and I have to spend that money that I have put away. Instead of saying that, you say, I'm delighted that I had the money to pay for anything that comes up. Not that something comes up and it takes my money. You're saying, if you think that, that's what's going to happen to you. Remember, it was the old thing. How many people, and I think Dennis could maybe back me up on this, my parents always said every car they bought was a lemon. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah, they believed that they couldn't get a good car, that it was a lemon.
They must have bought Dodge.
But they thought that was their attitude, that it was going to be a lemon.
Because they don't feel they deserve a good car.
Yes. They didn't feel that they deserved a good comfort.
Is self-fulfilling prophecy mentioned a lot in metaphysics? Well, it seems like that's what it is.
Well, it's maybe mentioned once, and then we are smart enough to realize that it happened. You know, you don't have to be bashed over the head with it on every other page. You have the small booklet?
Yes.
Equipment. Do you see it in there anywhere? But you can, after you read that, you realize that, don't you? That everything is self-fulfilling.
If you continue to meditate upon it or think
about
it.
Yes. If you continue, yes. What you think about, you will bring about. What you think about, you will bring about. It's that simple, that easy. Remember how many times I tell you this is a simple teaching. Very simple teaching. Most people want to make it so complicated. The reason why they want to make it so complicated is because surely it can't be that simple. It has to be. If it's that good, the mind says it has to be very complicated, and you have to be very intelligent to understand it. You see, children understand this and understand it very quickly. They know exactly how to work this.
At what time and under what circumstances do you share with others these dreams so that you can benefit from the group consciousness of that desire?
Well, that's a very good question. You never share anything with anybody unless they're absolutely of like mind, because they will start to rip it apart for you, and they will start to tell you all the reasons why you can't and that it cannot be done. You never want to do that. I never tell anyone what I'm working on until after it's manifested, because I do not want anyone
to stop wondering.
To poo-poo it, yes, and say, oh no, that can't be done. I don't need that in my consciousness, you see. Mm-hmm. And that is a race mind thing, or the world, we'll call it the world out there. The world thinks, oh, it's a good idea if we can get 10 people to okay it. Well, what you think in your own mind is good for you. You're using the mind of God, for goodness sakes. Do you think God checks with somebody? I don't think so. Who would he check with? Who would he check with?
Yet, I don't think it's good to go around thinking I can't help it because I'll jinx it. You know, like you think if I know something or I think something, I don't want to jinx it by telling someone, but it might be just to get that.
Well, it's because you don't want to give your power away, you see. The big mind, God, not going to worry about it. But we're going to worry about it. How often do we do that to our own selves? Well, my friend said, you know, you don't want your friend to say anything.
If you did find a group of people of like mind, you would have an exponential effect, would you not?
Aren't we of like mind?
Yeah.
Aren't we trying to be of like mind? We're trying to all think the same. Mm-hmm. Not the same thing.
Real quick. Can I tell you something?
I'm waiting.
Time's up.
Can I just mention something really silly?
Yes.
It's very silly. I find dimes all the time in the strangest places. If I have a pocket full of quarters, nickels, and pennies, and maybe one dime, and I pull my hand out, a dime is going to pop out of it. I found one tonight at a supermarket. I'm finding dimes all over the place, all the time. And they're just always dimes.
Hooray. What do you do when you pick it up?
Well, I start saying what you had said, because I think I mentioned this before. I said, thank you for the symbol of abundance in my life.
Absolutely.
And next time, make a $100 bill.
More, please.
And I always say,
I swear it's the strangest thing.
I always
dimes.
Say it's raining money. And I pick it up. I never step over a penny or anything. Some people say, well, I wouldn't pick up a penny. I wouldn't stoop to pick up a penny. I'll stoop to pick up a penny. You know, I'll stoop to pick it up. And I put it in my pocket and I say, thank you very much.
More money.
Does that mean anything metaphysically? I mean, does that mean anything?
What did you find?
Some kind of a symbol of something?
Well, everyone wants to talk about symbols. We don't do symbols. But something in your mind is saying something. What I'm telling you is, make it bigger. If you can manifest dimes, you can manifest $100 bills or $1,000 bills.
You know what's funny is when it first started, it was, you know, 3 or 4 times and didn't think much of it. But then I kept saying, I kept affirming, I keep finding dimes. So then, so that could be the lesson.
Need we say
more?
Yeah,
I keep finding money.
I keep finding money.
And I find money all the time.
Yes.
I keep blowing up street lamps.
But you didn't go more than that. I find money all the time. And then the one would say money is always freely circulating in my life. And I have divine surplus. And then I see money everywhere and start looking for money everywhere. You see? And it'll come to you. And look in the right places. Wasn't it last week I told you about finding the rug in the dumpster?
You had it here.
Oh, that's right. So, you know, wherever you look, you have to see prosperity.
I meant to ask you, are you going to hold on to that or are you going to sell it?
I'm probably going to hold on to it.
We're walking out of the prize out.
Yeah. $2,500 rug in the trash.
As soon as it goes up. No, I just love it.
It was a beautiful rug.
Yeah.
So.
Did you bring it to class?
Yeah, last week.
I don't clean everything because I want people to know that I'm telling the truth.
You took it and had it cleaned?
I took it and had it cleaned.
Good.
Of course I did. I wouldn't put a dirty rug down in my house.
I'm a dumpster.
I'm back on the kinds of questions to ask God, and what keeps coming up is one of my favorite Charlie Brown's Peanuts comics is Charlie Brown, and periodically would be lying in bed and he'd say, every now and then I look up and I ask God why, and then different answers would come back, and the one that cracked me up the most was when he said, sometimes I ask God why, and the answer I get back is, why what? So what are other types of questions or formats of questions that are, you know, what you were talking about, how questions or
yes, you have to do how questions.
So
you get why out of your consciousness, mm-hmm. get why out of your vocabulary. We do not know why things
yes.
happen. People want to think that they know why things are happening. You have to learn to live with the magic and the mystery of life. You see, once you learn that, you want to ask whys very often, your life will be wonderful for you. Or you won't say, why did this happen to me? Why does anything happen to you?
Because.
Thoughts are everything. You're thinking something about yourself. And then what happens to you? You have to think of yourself always as whole, complete, perfect, as deserving, as worthy, and completely lovable. Completely lovable. Without any shadow of a doubt. You don't care, and I don't have to say to you, I think you're lovable. You have to know that. And if somebody says, I think you're lovable, all you have to say is, thank you for noticing. Any compliment that somebody gives you, you say, thank you for noticing. You don't go into that, oh, I guess I'm lovable. Well, why would you think that? You don't have to move. Just take the compliment and run with it. And put it inside of you. And know that that is true. You see? And what I love is once I say, oh, I think they were lying to me. Well, why would you want to be around somebody that you thought was lying to you? You see? Be around honest, sincere people who tell you the truth. And the truth is that you're lovable.
I was talking to someone last night and he was using the word self-esteem. And I don't like it. To me, it's a meaningless word to him.
Yes.
It doesn't really say anything like worthy and deserving.
No.
And he was amazed when I said it. I was kind of surprised too, but people cover everything with self-esteem. And what does it mean?
Not much. But that's the world again.
I know.
They have a different vocabulary out there. You see. And the books that you read, and most psychologists and so forth, want to use the word self-esteem.
You don't want to give it up either.
No, they won't give it up.
And I wouldn't take it.
With self-esteem, it's so important, but ask somebody, what is self-esteem? How do you, what do you mean by that? What do you want to accomplish with that? Mm. You're saying, if you know that you're completely lovable, you have self-esteem. You say, people are looking for something. We're all looking for what we already have. And we're all looking to have something added to us. Nothing is going to be added to you. You came on this plane of action with everything you need. With everything you need. Now, we learn to use that. And we don't look outside of ourselves for that. If you want to be more creative, you have to start by saying, creative. Everyone has to be creative because you're using the mind of God. And the mind of God is creative. Otherwise, this thing we call God would not have created this wonderful, wonderful universe we live in. We were at the Huntington. I took Dennis and Jane to the Huntington on Tuesday. And Jane, what did you say? Look at all these varieties and so forth. Look at all this stuff. I mean, it's endless. The possibilities are endless. The beauty is endless. Everything is endless. You see, we don't have two plants on this planet, do we? You know, a rose and a daisy. We have millions. Millions of plants. The same way we have millions of people. And everything is different, isn't it?
And they're all beautiful.
And they're all beautiful, and every human being is beautiful. Every human being is beautiful. So it's time to start thinking of yourselves as unicorns and not the ogre under the bridge. Yeah. Think of yourself as unicorns. How many people here think they're unicorns? If you don't raise your hand, you certainly don't think that you're an ogre under the bridge, do you? You're learning, aren't you?
Yes.
And isn't your life getting better and better?
Well, I mean, I woke up at like 3 and I couldn't go to sleep. And I put on your tape and I thought I could sleep
better. No, that tape got wrong or right.
Thank God for small miracles.
It's a little comforting. You'll get
insulin. It makes the demons go away.
Jeff, did you have something you
could say? No, I was just going to tell you, you could take it as a compliment and say thanks for noticing, but
took
it the other way. No, that's all.
And how about you, Tom? Tommy over there at this point. What do you mean in what way?
I didn't hear the question.
Aren't you feeling better and getting better daily?
Yeah.
What is one of
that's
the most
huge,
powerful affirmations that you can say? I forget who brought this to this country, but he was a Frenchman, and he was a hypnotherapist, by the way. And he said, every day and every way I'm getting better and better. And you have to say that to yourself. Every day and every way I'm getting better and better. Okay, are you saying this?
No, I'm a little slow on the uptake. You see, that's the kind of thing. Groupthink is a concern to me. So I have to be very. So
what's a concern? I'm not sorry.
Groupthink.
Oh, groupthink.
So I'm very conscious of this in myself. And so perhaps I am more, cautious or more reticent. Or less, I don't necessarily jump into something as quickly as someone else might.
Well, why don't you just throw caution to the wind?
Get purple tennis shoes and the cape and the Kool-Aid and we'll all be happy.
And or, this thing is an idea of throwing caution to the wind. It's jumping in. And you say you don't want to do a group think. What do you think the rest of us are doing? What do you think race mind and any type of thinking is.
Well, I don't
thinking.
Like that either.
Well, then you have to learn to think out of that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that's.
But if you want to get better and better, it doesn't matter if everyone else is. So you don't want to do it because it's a group think.
I don't want to do what?
So better and better. But the rest of us, we're going to do better and better, and you're going to sit there and say, "I'll be damned if I'm going to do that one."
Well, no, that's.
See, don't you want to make yourself better and better?
I think you're misunderstanding me.
I must be.
I'm not saying that at all. Of course I want to feel better. Of course I want improvement in my life.
And how are you going to go about that?
Well, I'm finding that out.
If you want anything to come into your life, what is the one thing you must do? You must take an action.
Let's take an action.
You must take an action of some sort. You can sit around thinking all day long of something, but if you don't take an action, you're going to be at the exact same spot.
Right. Well, I never would have come in here.
I know. I'm delighted that you're here. I'm not picking on you. I mean, it may seem like that. But I'm not picking on you, no more than my picking on you. Well, on second thought, maybe I am. Let me back up a little.
To make it clear, I don't feel picked on at all.
Oh, good. Good.
I think it's a very good question to ask.
Yeah. But you see, we have to work on ourselves. Life is a do-it-yourself project. No one can do it for you. I cannot think for you. I cannot eat for you. I cannot breathe for you. You have to do that. All I can do is sit here and tell you different things, and you can take them and do something with them. That's a choice that everyone has. You know, you don't have to. You can say, well, he's full of it. Which is quite all right. But that doesn't bother me in the least, because I'm never concerned what other people think about me. I'm only concerned what I think about myself.
And see, that's exactly how I feel.
Good. Well, then I'll see you there. We're on the same level.
Absolutely.
Now look at the beautiful smile on his face.
You hit me there.
What did he say?
You hit me there.
I'll hit you there.
Somebody I know said, whose life really works, and he said, I have the same concerns and the same, it's about having the thoughts. The thoughts go across. He said, the difference is I no longer entertain them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I was thinking it's as simple, I mean, the metaphor I can think of is, in changing perspective, is if you decide to notice how much blue there is around you, then you're going to see a lot of blue. It's going to be, that's where your attention is going to go. or and then you decide, wow, I'm going to notice how much pink there is, or whatever. And it is that, I was thinking about that girl from last week, that A, evil is a definition, and B, if we, that's exactly what, you know, Wesley is saying too. It's that choice of, if I decide that life doesn't work, then I'm going to notice all the color that tells me life doesn't work. Here's all that. You know, so it's, I mean, it really is, it is a lot simpler, but it is such a...
it's where you put your...
We get so distracted. There's so much input and so much...
noise,
yeah.
It's where you put your attention. If you decide to buy a certain particular type of car, all of a sudden you'll see that car everywhere that you never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it everywhere. You put, yeah.
It's whatever color you're thinking of.
Yes. Then you see
all
it.
I see
it because it's your, it's your where you put your intention. And then that comes into your, into you. And they've always been there, just never noticed it before. They've always been there.
Dennis, I had a feeling that this girl who was here last week, that she had, you know, a different concept of her belief system was quite different. But I don't know how her belief system would answer the same question she was posing to you. I mean, just because you have faith in something else, those problems on the planet are still exist. Sick children are dying, or illness, or war, or disaster, they still exist. And I don't know how that offers answers to those questions either, really.
What did the master teacher Jesus say?
Knock and it shall be open.
Oh, yeah, he said that. He did say that. He said the poor will always be among us. And he meant the poor in consciousness will always be among us. You say.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're building, and we're having more people think this way. But we're going to run in, and there's nothing wrong with that young lady. I thought she was a beautiful person. It was just her thinking needs change slightly. Her life is not going to be, she's not going to have a happy life because she's concerned with outside of her own self. But I knew instantly when I saw her where her consciousness was. She came in here immediately and said, oh, I think I just ate something. And I just sat here. Somebody else went over to her and said, oh, what could it have been? So now she's going to tell you the whole story. And I still just sat here. She probably thought, oh, he's heartless. I will not buy into that stuff.
Well, you told us that when you went back to your high school or whatever it was, reunion, and all you heard was everybody complaining about their illness.
I told Dennis not to take me there again. They had anything, but the one girl said her retina was falling out, and I said,
was it the same for you?
Not in the salad. I'll go through it. Her retina. Somebody else was having a knee operation. Somebody had hearing aids. Oh, it just went on and on. I'm going, because I'm the same age as those people.
And you knew you were in the wrong place.
I knew I was in the wrong place. You see, because this teaching, by the way, does not deny these. It denies the necessity for them. There's no necessity for that. But they allow themselves to buy into the world where it says, now you're this age, your teeth fall out or whatever. You know. Doesn't need it. His mother still has her teeth. She's going to be 93, isn't she? How about that other cousin? Oh, you just sent her a card.
Margaret.
How old is she?
102.
Wow.
Does she have a long way to go?
Does she still have her own teeth?
I don't know.
Well, I ask her.
Dear Margaret, just wondering if you have all your choppers.
Yes.
Love, Dennis.
Still on your second set?
But you even through that, but it's all in your thinking. And it's all in the thing. If you stay and take care of yourself and so forth, you don't have to come down with all the things that are out there to come down with. First of all, remember, don't watch that television set. It'll tell you you're falling apart. And a new pill will come out to help do something for you.
I found it interesting. I started reading men's magazines for a while instead of women's. And I felt so much better about myself after reading. I'm not talking. Yeah, I do like Playboy for the jokes, fine. But no, I happened to be reading. I don't even remember which ones. Just men's fitness stuff like that. And the letters in there were so much more affirming of women than the letters in women's magazines and all the stuff that's in there. You know, it was really funny, you know, to see, because generally speaking, I know men like us a lot better than we think they do. You know, they like our imperfections and don't see them, or whatever we think.
And tell us that women feel the same about us,
too. You do.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, it's like...
What's this? We just had the whole self-esteem conversation.
Yeah. And you
have
to I was just going to make a comment about the girl. For one thing, I've applaud her for coming in here, because it was real obvious she grew up in a very religious background. It's like if you grow up in a Democratic or a Republican household, you tend to vote that way the rest of your life. If they're real staunch Democrats or they're real staunch Republicans, and she had a very staunch belief that there is a God and there is a devil. And he's around the corner.
Oh, that's
about
right.
To come in.
Yeah. She mentioned
and
the
and
devil.
She brought all that up, which is, I think, what really, every time I saw, she was sitting right there and I was sitting here, every time that kind of thing came up is when she shuddered. And it's real hard. I mean, she literally shuddered when he would say certain.
I tried not to see her, but out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah. And it's just real hard to wrap. You and I were talking about Mary Baker Eddy the other day, a couple weeks ago, and she had this quote that you probably know. The belief sin only lasts as long as the belief in sin lasts, and if you take that sin meaning, you know, anxiety, self-esteem problems, all these different, that can mean that's global. Sin only lasts as long as the belief in sin. So that takes away. There is no devil. There is no Satan to come around the corner and scare you. And it was just. I don't know if we could have told her something like that, and her head would.
She wasn't receiving.
Yeah, but she did. But she did a few times. There were a few times where she did go, and it was like, but it was a shudder kind of oh. So
she had to have been open to it, or she
wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think she would have come. It was interesting to see that dynamic.
But she said she popped in here one day, but not with us, but something, and then decided to come. But it doesn't matter. She comes back.
Well, she was trying.
She'll be back.
She was trying.
Yeah.
Very true.
Well, she wasn't open.
I wanted to share one other thing that you were talking about at the very beginning, and what he was talking about, and it's just something that I noticed a long time ago. I had an iguana, and iguanas, if they don't like something, mine, for instance, sat on this windowsill, great big windowsill, it was real wide, and that's where he would sit because the sun would come in. And everything, and he would sit there and bask in the sun. And if you walked up to him, he closed that eye that you walked up to him, but he left the eye open to the sunshine and the beautiful garden and everything like that. And they actually do that. I did some reading, and they zone out what they don't want to see. So it was kind of like your dump and beautiful garden idea. And they do that. And same thing with the monkeys. I think we have. Such analytical minds that we let that get in the way. If we were, more, I guess, simple, we'd probably be a lot better off.
I'll mention one thing about the sin and so forth. And there were tons of, and this goes to the Catholics, in the Catholic Church, all the sins, and then they had Vatican II, and all those sins were changed. Remember, it was a sin to eat meat on Friday. Mm-hmm. And for years, people thought that was sinful. And as soon as he said, "Oh no, you can eat meat; it's no longer a sin," sin as long as you believe in it. It's only a sin as long as you believe in it. By the way, does anyone know where the word sin came from? It's in the Bible. It's written in the Bible. Sin is an archery term, which means missing the mark. And that's all sin means. It just means you missed the mark, so next time do better. Go and sin no more. Which people think, you know, I eat a fish and God's going to get me. And I think also the Catholic Church is the one who changed. People used to go to limbo.
To what? I'm sorry.
No more
to limbo.
Oh, limbo.
Now there's no more limbo. Mm-hmm. Of course, I want to know what happened to the people that were in limbo.
They graduated.
They must be checked. Yeah. Really
jeez, I wish you'd have done it when I. So anyway, it's all in the belief. It's all in the system. So you have to learn to believe in your own self. How many times have I said, and I'll say it again right now, the highest form of worship that you can give God is to love yourself. God does not need your love. God does not need your worship. God is beyond all of that. God is infinite intelligence and has evolved past this petty little things that we have. You cannot affect God in any way. You cannot affect God in any way. That's why we do spiritual mind treatment. We align ourselves with the mind of God. We don't try to get God to align its mind with us. Impossibility. So we must learn to love ourselves. We must learn that we are unicorns, that we're totally worthy, totally lovable, and totally deserving of everything. And what else do we know? What I know about you is that you're wonderful. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Encore.